ವೆಲ್ಕಮ್ ಆಲ್ ಆಫ್ ಯು ಟು ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ವಿದ್ಯಾಪೀಠ. ವಿ ಆರ್ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್ ಅನದರ್ ಬ್ಯಾಚ್ ದಿಸ್ ಟೈಮ್, ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇಟ್ಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ ಫಾರ್ಚ್ಯೂನ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಆಚಾರ್ಯ ರತ್ನಪ್ರಭು, ಒಂದು ಪ್ರೆಸಿಡೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕಲ್ಕತ್ತಾ ಟೆಂಪಲ್, ಕೇಮ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ವೇ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಕಲ್ಕತ್ತಾ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಅಟೆಂಡ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗಿವ್ ಅಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್. ಸೊ ಇನ್ 2014 ಹಿಸ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ರಾಧೇಶ್ಯಾಮ್ ಪ್ರಭು ಜಾಯಿಂಡ್ ವಿದ್ಯಾಪೀಠ ಬ್ಯಾಚ್. 2 full years he was there. Then during his presence only another senior devotee, disciple of His Holiness Gopal Krishna Maharaj, Ravindra Chaitanya Prabhu, also joined. He was there for a year. And also many senior devotees also came. In the first batch, Keshav Chandra Prabhu came. He was there for a year. In the second batch, Prem Gauram Prabhu came. He was there for a few months. And in the third batch, Radhesham Prabhu came. He was there for 2 full years. Then in the fourth batch, second batch, Nandanandan Prabhu attended. You know, Goshala in charge, or Nandanandan Prabhu, he attended all Vidyapit classes. So then again, in this partial Thane batch, we are also having Revatipati Prabhu, Antardvi Prabhu, and now this batch is Grace Acharyadatta Prabhu. So like that, Vidyapit is having the fortune of having the association of so many senior devotees also, because many of these devotees have dedicated their entire lives, so many decades, so many years, and couple of decades they have been serving, and even after that also they are maintaining that inspiration and interest to study Bhagavatam from first canto, from Janmadhyasatha, systematically. It's very from one side it is very surprising how can people at that level, at that stature, take out their time in the midst of all management to study Srimad Bhagavatam like this systematically, taking out 8 days, 10 days time. And Radhesham Prabhu, 2 full years of time. Weekends he would go and weekdays he is here. So like they're taking out time and coming all the way from various places to GEV, it's not a small thing. It's something very heavy. So this, from my side personally, I see this as a great privilege to have their association, and I seek a lot of inspiration from their examples, that Bhagavatam has to be given importance. Bhagavatam deserves the one of the primary vital key important factors in the life of a sadhaka. Because they are taking it so seriously after so many years, after accomplishing so much also, still they want to study systematically. Means I feel I need to be a little more serious. Because they are taking the course seriously, I need to run the course more seriously. So I see this as like a faith-building exercise, that this book has everything. And this book is given importance by some many great souls, so that means I need to give more importance. So personally, I take this lesson from their example. Although their experience levels and their maturity in devotional service, all this is way beyond my little experience here. I'm quite younger to them in age and experience. But still, they are giving importance to this course, means I need to take this course seriously. So I seek your blessings before I say anything. So if I am going to commit any mistakes, which I am definitely going to do with my limited understanding of Bhagavatam, please correct me whenever you feel like, and please give me your blessings so that I can do this service properly. So we will have maybe first few verses only in this class. So generally Vidyapit goes like this, one chapter a day. But if the chapter is little elaborate, we'll take more than one session. So I am planning to cover first 3 chapters in 4 classes. Okay, so we will not complete the first chapter today, we'll complete a portion of it. And mainly we will give importance to Prabhupada's book, this BBT, Bhagavatam book. So this is our primary study book that we are going to study. And as another reference, as an extra reference, additional reference, we will also refer to Krishna Chakurthi Thakur Sararth Darshini. And we will refer it quite often, very often, although we are keeping it as a secondary to Prabhupada's thing, but still we'll depend on it like quite to some very significantly we'll depend on it. Because if you see the way Prabhupada presents this Bhagavatam, especially his purports, several times they are very application oriented and essence oriented. He does a lot of analysis, but he emphasizes on the essence more than analysis. However, to understand the subject matter, to appreciate certain very technical sections, little more analysis and some features and links and connections, they are also needed, right? Which are definitely there in Prabhupada's presentation of Bhagavatam, but we can get them little more clearly and more emphatically, that connections from Vishnu Chakurthi Thakur Sara Darshini, right? So it's a feast to relish Bhagavatam when we keep both these books together. Right in the first purport, first pages of Bhagavatam only, Prabhupada says that several acharyas, you can open page number 30. So I have included that in Bhagavat Subodhani initial parts also, initial introduction also. You see, Prabhupada's emphasis on systematic study and Acharya's unparalleled contribution. So right in the first purport of Bhagavatam, Prabhupada is saying that there is no doubt about the authority of Bhagavatam. Within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars and acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti, Vallabhacharya, and many other distinguished scholars, even after the time of Lord Chaitanya, made elaborate commentaries on the Bhagavatam. And the serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. So, primarily we will refer to Prabhupada's book. At the same time, taking his suggestion, taking his instruction, we will also depend on other acharyas, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, whose commentary is available in English. So we will depend on that also for our understanding of Bhagavatam, right? And to relish Bhagavatam more, to get little more insights and explanations and elaborations, and to specifically understand the links and connections and the technical sections, especially in the second canto and third canto teachings of Lord Kapila, some of these. So we'll refer to Sarat Darshini also, right? So this will be the format of our journey through the 335 chapters, 18,000 shlokas of Bhagavatam. Did you ever count the number of shlokas in Bhagavatam? Anyone? In the BBT book? We counted. I had always this desire, 18,000, okay, let me count. So the count comes to around 14,000. Did you count? We heard about it. Then why is it called 18,000? Did you hear the answer? You didn't hear the answer, you heard only the question. So, when you say there are 18,000 shlokas or verses in Bhagavatam, it's a very technical feature. The word shloka is a very technical term, so that depends on the meter. Different kinds of meters are there. No, not meter, you can say here. Scholars analyze that a verse contains 32 syllables. So like that, The very first verse of Bhagavatam, which is Janmadyasya Yataha Anvayad Itaradasya Artheshu Abhignaswarat. This one line has 19 syllables. So 19 into 4, how much? 76. So 76 syllables are there within this one verse only. And you include Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya also. So this, if you go that a verse should have 32 syllables, then this verse is like around 2.5 verses. The first text is around 2.5 verses. Second text is also like that. So there are some verses that have different meters. Janmadyasyata is 1 meter. Then you have Savai Pumsam Paro Dharmo Yato Bhakti Radhokshaji. The very smallest verse, smallest meter. And there are medium meters. Savayata Dhatum Padavim Parasya Duranta Viryasya Rathanga Pani. So that's a little medium meter. This is a long meter. This Janmadyasyata. So now verses of different meters are there. So you take 32 syllable count as one verse, and in especially in the fifth canto there are so many prose verses. Prose means poetry is like you have 4 lines and there is a meter. Prose means just Sanskrit, you are just writing down prose. It could be one big paragraph. Some prose can be 1 line only. You can't call this also a verse and this also a verse. But you divide that into syllable count, 32 verses, 32 syllables in a verse, then it will come to around 17,890 verses of Bhagavad Gita. And you have Arjuna Uvacha, Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Hiranyakashipur Uvacha, Prahrada Uvacha. So all this Uvacha and other auxiliary terms, you count that also, then it will come to 18,000 verses. So like that, there are 18,000 verses of Bhagavatam. And generally, we have seen some devotees having some tough time going through Bhagavatam in a systematic manner. Because the very first verse, Janmadyasya Yataha Anvayad Yataratasya, the meter and the length of this verse, and there are some 10 pages purport here. And if you go to Chakravartipad, he'll write a 25 pages purport. It's a little bouncer to an average reader. It's a bit tough for people to go through this first verse itself. Then they'll turn to the second verse. That also has some similar theme. It's not as technical as this first verse. But still, there's a lot in that also. Then there is third verse. Little milder. Fourth verse onwards, the simple storyline and questions will start. And there are 6 questions in the first chapter. But an average reader, in my first reading, I couldn't figure out the six questions. And to understand whether it's a question or not also is a little difficult. Right? And Acharyas give explanation that fourth question is about Purushavataras. Jiva Goswami says. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur also has a different opinion. But Jiva Goswami says Purushavataras is good. That is the fourth question. And to figure out that this question is this, I mean, you need some explanation and all. And Prabhupada writes generally in a lesson-oriented and application-oriented tone. So essential understanding you will definitely get. Right? So like that, people become little... It becomes a little too much for people to go through this first chapter itself. 6 questions? Where are 6 questions? I never heard there are 6 questions in the first chapter. I read first chapter 2-3 times, but I didn't get through the 6 questions. And next 2 chapters have the answers to these 6 questions. First, you don't understand that the question is asked only. How will you figure out that there is an answer mentioned? Right? So... And the third chapter, so many incarnations are there. Then incarnations are also numbered. First incarnation is Kumara. Second incarnation is Bor. Is there a sequence? They are not sequential. Right? They are not sequential. That we get from Acharya's purports. Right? So, like that, to go through this first chapter, first 3 verses is a little difficult for an average reader. To go through this first chapter is difficult. To go through this first 3 chapters is a little big project for an average reader, right? Who is not very you much used to this academic or scholarly kind of studying or analytical studying like that. And that's not needed also. Prabhupada gives the essence of our philosophy. He repeats, he does the analysis, I am offering you the essence. If you have the bandwidth to do analysis, you are welcome. But otherwise, just take shelter of my purports, take the essence, chant Hare Krishna. Verse may be speaking about Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Prabhupada will speak about Bhakti Yoga. That is essence, right? Sometimes Prabhupada may even contradict the verse also and then bring in Bhakti there. Krishna is not there in the verse, Prabhupada says Krishna. Bhakti is not there in the verse, Prabhupada says Bhakti. So that kind of essential understanding Prabhupada gives, and he does a thorough job. Because, you know, this, some people are into website. There is something called SEO. You know what is SEO? Search Engine Optimization. You type something in Google. And when you type something, suddenly right in the first page something pops out. Why that hit managed to come in the first page when you write in Google? You are typing something for an article. Why this came? Because that article is most popularly read and it's very technically written also, properly written. In the sense that they have the proper keywords that the Google captures certain keywords. Your initial paragraph should have some proper keywords and that should reflect in the title also. And in the article also, those keywords have to repeat at certain frequency. So like that, when the article is well written like that, then people, Google will capture that and then put it in the front page. And this is one parameter. There could be 100 other parameters also. People may artificially increase the hits and all. We don't know all that. But there's something called search engine optimization where you use keywords that perfectly indicate the content of your article. Right? Those things will come in first. So Prabhupada uses the keywords of Krishna, bhakti, devotional service, right? Very repeatedly and puts them in strategic locations, right? He is the perfect SEO expert, search engine optimization. So he places the most key terms. Because Kali Yuga readers, they have very strange reading patterns. They may start to read from beginning and they may close the book in the middle. Or they may open the book in the middle, right, and start reading from there. Right? So a Kali Yuga reader may not have the patience to go through from cover to cover, go through a cover to cover study. So whichever verse a person picks up and then reads a paragraph, he should get the essence. So I should emphasize bhakti everywhere. Like that Prabhupada writes his purports. Right? So if you're getting bewildered sometimes, why Prabhupada is bringing in bhakti here? Yeah, this is the reason. Because we are not sure whether people will read, people will have the patience to read very systematically from beginning to end. Prabhupada kills all suspense. Right? Generally, you are sitting and watching a movie in the theater. Right? You are very excited. What's coming next? What's coming next? Someone who has already seen the movie sits next to you. And he's always saying, a hero will kill him like that. Hero will slap him like this. Right? Hero will do, will, heroine will do like this. Villain will do like that. He is constantly giving commentary and telling what's going to come up later. You will not be so excited, right? You feel like having the suspense. But some people are excited. If you tell the story, So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur and other acharyas also, they present Bhagavatam the way Sukadeva Goswami has, they explain Bhagavatam in their commentaries, the way the verse sequence is flowing, right? Sometimes they may give a summary in the middle, in the beginning only, right? So now a point is made in the 10th verse, for example, verse number 1 to 10. So at the 10th point, you get the conclusion. In the 10th verse, you get the conclusion. So there is a progression from first verse to say 10th verse. So some acharyas allow you to go through that progression and come to the conclusion. The 10th verse, you will be revealed. This is the conclusion. Prabhupada takes the 10th verse element and puts in first verse only. Right? Because he is not sure whether he will read till 10th verse. If you stop in second verse, still you will get the message. You should have, you have to get the message. right? So like that Prabhupada has a style. So different acharyas have different styles. This has to be seen as variety, not contradiction. Right? So that kind of essential understanding Prabhupada gives. And the sequential understanding, chronological and quote-unquote organic sequential flow, the way things are flowing, that kind of understanding also we'll get from other acharyas. When we combine both, it's ecstatic. You can appreciate Bhagavatam very wonderfully. Right. So we will keep both of these commentaries together and then try to study Bhagavatam. Right. Still we may not completely understand. Why we will not completely understand? Because that needs service. Because one may... Sorry, I'm just giving prelude only. I think it's needed before we enter. There was one prelude session, bro. Orientation session a couple of days back. So before we start this also. So what I was saying? Service. So when we read the scripture or when we sit and attend a class by some knowledgeable person and a senior devotee, then we get knowledge. But to convert that knowledge into realization, we should get opportunities for service. And we should take that opportunity for service. So service converts knowledge into realization. There is a circuit or whatever system, control system or whatever. So in that is a service circuit. You put knowledge into that circuit or system. And the output, input is knowledge, output is realization. Till we render service to great devotees, our knowledge remains knowledge only. It doesn't, we will not be able to assimilate that knowledge and realize that knowledge till we render selfless service to great souls. This fact is mentioned in 3rd canto, 7th chapter. This is a realization of Vidura. Whatever I am speaking, I have reference. 3rd canto, 7th chapter. In the 17th, 18th, 19th, 20th verses. These 3-4 verses. Because Vidura asks so many questions to Maitreya and Maitreya answers them. Especially about Jiva and Ishvara. And then Vidura says, yes, you have answered my questions. I have understood. But this understanding will convert into a realization if I serve you. Right? So service converts knowledge into realization. So we may go through this Bhagavatam, we may go through this sequential study of Bhagavatam. At the end of the course, we cannot claim a complete understanding of the Bhagavatam. We may have to read again. Then we'll understand it better. You read now something in your beginning years. This is the first year of the ashram. So you read now. Then after 2 years, again you read. After 10 years, again you read. Same book. The understanding that you have today, that you get today, will be much more refined when you read it after 10 years. That understanding you get after 10 years is much more than what you get now. Why? 10 years of service is there. So, Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murthy. What did Mohini Murthy do? Mohini Murthy took the nectar and gave it to the demigods. And she did not give the nectar to demons. You know this story, right? You know this? Rakesh Prabhu? You know Mohini Murthy story. So, she was hiding the nectar from the demons and she was distributing the nectar to the devotees. Cheating. Pure cheating is going on. She said, I will give nectar to everybody. But she's not giving. Similarly, Bhagavatam is also like Mohini Murthy. You may come and sit and open the book and start studying Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Mohini Murthy. Bhagavatam may not reveal the complete understanding to you. Because ordinary material book, na? If you read, your understanding depends on your material intelligence. If you're a little smart, you can easily get what's the meaning, right? You're a little analytical, you're intellectual, okay. C, C++, DOS, operating systems, data structures, right? All this you can easily analyze. Computer science, control systems, metallurgy. So all these things you can easily understand. Circuits, ECE, electronics and communication. There are circuits, right? EMF and all. So all this you can easily understand if you have little analytical capacity, and then their grace is not needed so much. Your professor's grace may be needed, but that grace marks and some training also is useful. But this depends more on the grace. You serve devotees, get their sincere blessings, not obligatory blessings. Get sincere blessings, and then you can understand. Simple. So, Bhagavatam, just like Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to everyone. What is that? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrutaha. So, Krishna is not obliged to reveal himself to anyone and everyone who approaches him. Similarly, Bhagavatam is also not obliged to reveal the true meaning of this great work. If the person who is approaching the Bhagavatam doesn't do that in a right mood, doesn't have the right approach. If one wants to understand this Bhagavatam and become a big kathakar, Prabhupada often criticizes these professional reciters who use Bhagavatam to earn name, fame and livelihood and money. If Bhagavatam speaking becomes a business, then katha may go on, business may go on, but you will not get the grace of Bhagavatam. Right? And there could be some very genuine kalakars, kathakars, we are not criticizing them, but using this book to expand one's influence or to increase one's name, fame and prestige, false prestige, or to using this book to get some material profits and benefits, prosperity out of it. So with that kind of approach, if we go to Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam is not obliged to reveal. Apparently you feel that you may quote verses, all 10, hundreds of verses, all 18,000 verses you may memorize apparently. You may quote things left, right and center. But still, that such a person who has material motives cannot claim to have the right understanding of Bhagavatam. Right? Because Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murti. Demons may imagine that we are getting nectar, but they are not getting. They are just closing their eyes or just opening their eyes and then saying, oh, when will we get? When will we get? Meditating on the features of Mohini Murti. Right? So, just like you have a friend, right? So, you both are friends. And your friend will reveal his heart to you. In friends, there is some guhyamakhyati prachyati, dadati pratigrahanat, all these exchanges will happen, right? So you help them and then they will open up your heart, open up their heart in front of you. In confidence, you also open up. There is some subject matter, common subject matter to share, right? That happens, right? Between friends. So when will you be inspired to open your heart in front of your friend? If you have trust that he has good intentions. When you trust the intentions of your friend, you are free and happy and comfortable to open your heart in front of him. Is it not? But if you sense some negative intentions, ulterior motives in his heart, then you don't feel like opening up in front of him. You just keep a very formal interaction. Is it not? Also, it also depends on the frequency. So that friend is coming to you. Every day he is coming to you, or just on a regular basis he is coming to you and then meeting you. Hi, hello, how are things going on? He is just taking care of you. Then, if there is a regular interaction, you feel like opening up. So he will come. He may not have ulterior motives in इंटरेक्टिंग विथ यू, बट यू विल कम से हाय हेलो एंड आफ्टर 1 ईयर अगेन ही विल मीट, हाँ कैसे चले ठीक है ना, हाँ बस लेट्स मूव अहेड. मोटिव्स मे नॉट बी इम्प्योर बट द फ्रीक्वेंसी ऑफ इंटरेक्शन इज पुअर, देन ऑल्सो यू डोंट फील लाइक ओपनिंग अप. देयर शुड बी टू हैव ए गुड सब्सटेंशियल रिलेशनशिप, देयर शुड बी एन अमाउंट ऑफ फ्रीक्वेंसी इन योर इंटरेक्शन. द फ्रीक्वेंसी ऑफ इंटरेक्शन एंड द इंटेंशन बिहाइंड इंटरेक्शन बोथ शुड बी देयर, बोथ शुड बी प्रॉपर, देन यू फील लाइक ओपनिंग अप, इज इट नॉट राइट? दैट डज इट मेक सेंस? सिमिलरली भागवतम इज नॉन डिफरेंट फ्रॉम कृष्ण एंड भागवतम इज अ पर्सन, इट्स नॉट अ बुक, इट इज बुक, इट्स अ पर्सन इन द फॉर्म ऑफ अ बुक, ग्रंथ, ग्रंथ अवतार. सो दिस ग्रंथ अवतार इज अ कॉम्बिनेशन ऑफ ऑल अवतार्स. सो एन अवतार विल कम, डज हिज एक्टिविटीज एंड देन गोस. सो फ्रॉम दैट अवतार यू गेट द इफेक्ट और the glory or the nectar from that avatar only, but from this granth avatar you get the activities of all avatars, it's a combination of all avatars, bhagavatam, this book, this grantha. So it is krishna in the form of a book. Chakre satvata samhitam puranam brahma samhitam. So this person krishna in the form, person krishna in the form of this book will reveal its true knowledge to you, provided the frequency of your interaction and the intention behind your interaction are proper. If you regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. You see, if you regularly read Srimad Bhagavatam, then Bhagavatam is comfortable to reveal its meanings to you. If you read now one verse, after 2 months you will read the second verse, after 4 months you read the third verse, the frequency of interaction is very poor, then you don't make a connection. You can't make a friendship with Bhagavatam. If there's a regular approach, then fine. Bhagavari, he's coming to me every day. Regularly he's coming to me. Fine. I will reveal all my secrets to him. You understand? Similarly, intention. Intention we already discussed. Our intention in studying Bhagavatam and our frequency of studying Bhagavatam, both should be proper, right? Then there is a good possibility that Bhagavatam will reveal its message to us, right? To the extent we render service, right? So service attitude, frequency of your study, motives behind your study, all these are important for our understanding of Bhagavatam. Otherwise, if you just trying to gather some knowledge and information, just to update ourselves, I want the recent updates, most recent updates from this book. If that is the motive, then definitely we'll get updates. Yathamam prapadyante tamsadaiva bhajamyam. So if you want updates, you'll get updates. If you want information, you'll get information. If you want transformation, you will get transformation. Okay, makes sense. So with this, I think we need to start. Okay, the introduction has no end. I don't want to use this 2.5 hours only in introduction. So there are, okay, we'll discuss this little later. So for now, we'll start the first verse. So do you want to share anything? There is no. Yes, before beginning, would you like to give us some suggestion on our mode of study or any other?
Many. And they will
sounds good. We'll get another world. We'll get to spiritual world. Thank you, Hare Krishna. So we'll begin the first verse. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Janmadyasya Yatonvayadi Taratascharthesva Vignasvarat.
Janmadyasya Yatonvayadi Taratascharthesva Vignasvarat.
Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Surayah.
Tene Brahma Hridayadi Kavaye
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrusha.
Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo mrusha.
స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. జన్మాద్యస్య యతో, జన్మ ఈజ్ లిటరలీ బర్త్ ఆర్ జన్మ ఈజ్ అపియరెన్స్ ఆర్ క్రియేషన్. జన్మాది, జన్మ ఇస్ క్రియేషన్, ఆది మీన్స్ ఎక్సెట్రా క్రియేషన్ అండ్ అదర్ టూ థింగ్స్. వాట్ ఆర్ ద అదర్ టూ? మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్. జన్మాద్యస్య యతః, యతః మీన్స్ దిస్ పర్సన్, రైట్? జన్మాద్యస్య యతః, ఫ్రమ్ హూమ్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్, మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ హ్యాపెన్స్. దట్ మీన్స్ ద కాజ్ ఆఫ్ దిస్ క్రియేషన్, మెయింటెనెన్స్ అండ్ డిస్ట్రక్షన్ ఈస్ దట్ పర్సన్. Who is that? Vasudeva, Krishna. So Krishna is the cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of what? Of this manifested universes, right? So this first verse describes the features of absolute truth. It defines the absolute truth. It describes various characteristics of the absolute truth. So the first characteristic is absolute truth. Krishna is that person from whom the creation, maintenance and destruction of all the manifested universe happens, right? Janmadyasyatah, he is the primeval cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of millions of universes. Second, anvayat itaratascha artheshu abhignah. Anvayat means directly, itaratascha means indirectly. అన్వయాద్ ఇతరతశ్చ అర్థేషు, అర్థ మీన్స్ ద మీనింగ్ ఆర్ ది పర్పస్ ఆఫ్ వాట్ ఎవర్ యూఆర్ డూయింగ్, రైట్? అర్థ అన్వయాద్ ఇతరతశ్చ అర్థేషు అభిజ్ఞ, అభిజ్ఞ ఇస్ టు బి కాన్షియస్, టు బి టు అండర్స్టాండ్ థింగ్స్, టు బి నాలెడ్జిబుల్, టు బి అవేర్, టు బి కాగ్నిజెంట్. సో అన్వయాద్ ఇతరతశ్చ అర్థేషు అభిజ్ఞ, Abhigna means he is aware of this artheshu, the purposes of everything, either directly or indirectly. Anvaya is directly, itaratas is indirectly. This is clear? So, either directly or indirectly, he is conscious of everything. He is aware of everything. He is cognizant of everything. Such a person is called absolute truth. Fine? Two aspects. First is what? Janmadhyasayataha, cause of creation, maintenance and destruction of all manifested universe. Second, conscious or cognizant of all purposes, directly or indirectly. Third, Swarat, he is completely independent. He is totally independent. He is not dependent on anyone. Everyone else and everything else is absolutely dependent on Krishna, but he is not dependent on anyone. Okay. Fourth, tene brahma hrida ya adi kavaye. Tene means he imparted, right? What he imparted? Brahma. This brahma is not the personality brahma. This brahma means Vedas, Vedic knowledge. So he imparted Vedic knowledge where? Hrida, in the heart. Of whom? Of Adikavi. Who is Adikavi? Brahmaji. So in this line, Brahma means Vedas, Vedic knowledge, and Adikavi is Brahma. So what is written? You understand, right? Brahma is Brahma. Why this translation says Brahma is Vedas, Vedic knowledge? That's why you don't understand the depth of Sanskrit language. Sanskrit language, one word can mean 100 things. And in what context, which meaning is suitable? Someone who knows Sanskrit, not just the language, but someone who knows the spirit behind that usage of the word in that context, he can only explain. For example, I'll say, give me this. Okay. When I said, give me this, he immediately gave me this phone. But you, Rakesh Prabhu, or what is your name? Tejas Prabhu. Did you understand when I said give me this? What am I asking? You didn't understand. Why? You are so far. You are 10 feet ahead of me. He's just 1 or 2 feet just before me. He could immediately understand. Right? So, the word, what is this? The meaning you can understand. Now, give me this. You can easily understand the meaning. But what am I indicating by the usage of the words you don't understand? Because you are so far. Similarly, acharyas are so close to Krishna. Acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas are so close to Srimad Bhagavatam because they have imbibed the message of Bhagavatam. They have internalized the essence of Bhagavatam. They can speak, they can study, they can understand, they can assimilate, they can propagate the message of Bhagavatam. When they explain the verse in certain way, you need to accept that. You can't use your own stupid Sanskrit language and say that this is correct explanation, this is wrong explanation. But who are you to say that? An acharya is saying. Right? You know more than Prabhupada or what? You don't know more than Prabhupada. Right? Anyone claims here? So, when acharyas are explaining that this is the meaning of this word in this context, accept it. Right? Don't use your material intelligence, Sanskrit and so-called Sanskrit intelligence. In India, most people claim to have an understanding of some verse. They just memorize one verse, one phrase of Sanskrit. We understand Sanskrit. Right? So, for example, this Atma word is there. Sometimes Atma, generally Atma, first meaning that comes to your mind is what? Atma? Soul. But in some context, Atma can mean Paramatma also. In some, Paramatma is a nickname. Paramatma can also be called Atma. May not be nickname, a pet name. May not be pet name. Just to fit the meaning of Paramatma in that chandas, maybe you don't have the bandwidth to accommodate Parama there. Just put Atma. Understood. Poetry, right? In a four line verse, all the syllables and chandas and the meter should match. You never wrote a Sanskrit verse, you don't understand the technicalities. So a poet, when he is writing a Sanskrit verse, he will put the words in such a way that the meter fits in. In that time, sometimes he may have to shorten certain words. That you, if you know poetry, you will get the right meaning of it. Although he is using the word in a different way. Getting right? So now you just read the verse, it's not sequential, it's not a prose sentence, poetry. For you to understand, you need to put the last line before the first line to get the right meaning. Is it not? Sanskrit verse, Patram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. One who offers leaf, fruit, flower, all this is very dear to me. If you put one who, leaf, flower, fruit, very dear to me, offers. It doesn't make sense, right? To make a sensible prose sentence, you need to rearrange the poetry words. For that, you should know poetry. So acharyas know that poetry. They're close. If you are familiar with the language, you can get the right understanding of the Sanskrit verse. But if you don't know the language, then it's very difficult to understand. If that is true for language, what to speak of the truth of devotion? Just because you know English, you cannot understand kinetics or physics. You open a medical book and then start reading. None of your medical people except this Rajesh Prabhu. Rajesh Prabhu, right? Vijay Prabhu. So, you read English, open. They have so many terms you can't understand. Just because you know the language English, you cannot claim to be understanding a medical book. Similarly, just because you know the language Sanskrit, you can't claim an understanding of Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. It's not a linguistic exercise. There's a lot of philosophy there. There's a lot of rasa there. A lot of tattva there. So rasa, tattva, then siddhanta, all these are different terms only. They're not linguistic terms. You can't get the essence of them through your linguistic knowledge. we have no devotion, we have no language also. What we will understand? Whatever Prabhupada has given, take it. Na? Do you know Sanskrit? No. Do you know philosophy or Siddhanta, all that you know? We don't know both. Better accept whatever is given. Make sense? Some Sanskrit people who know Sanskrit, na, they start, and relax. We take this opinion. We don't take your opinion. You keep your opinion with you only. Because scholars die with their opinions only. They don't change generally. There are few scholars who changed it. Like Prakashanand Saraswati, then Sarvam Bhattacharya. Right? Because they have the full dose of Mahaprabhu's mercy. But these Kali Yuga scholars are already puffed up. It's a little difficult. So, accept this Brahma as Vedic knowledge, not personality Brahma. Accept this Adikavi as Brahmaji. Fine? Any issues? No? No issues, right?
No issues, okay.
The original poet. Kavi means poet, Adi means original, first. He is the first person only, first poet also. Okay. He offered prayers to Krishna. Muhyanti yat surayaha. Fifth point. So far we have discussed four points. Janmadyasayataha, anvayadetartascharthesho bhignaha. Swarat, third. Fourth is tene brahmaradikavaye. So that Supreme Lord, Absolute Truth, Krishna has imparted Vedic knowledge in the heart of Brahmaji. Okay? That is the fourth point. Fifth point is Muhyanti yat surayaha. In trying to understand that absolute truth, Suri means great learned scholars, Mahapandits, Muhyanti, they get bewildered. Even great learned people also get bewildered in their attempts to understand the absolute truth. We can appreciate this when we read few more cantos. How it is very bewildering to understand Krishna. Na hiyasya karhichit rajan puman veda vidhishtam yad vijignasaya yukta muhyanti kavayopihi. Even great kavis also, Bhishma says in the 9th chapter of this canto. Uddhava says in the 3rd canto, karmanyani hasya bhavo bhavasyate durgashrayothari bhayatpalayanam kalatmanoyat pramadayutashrama svatman rate khidyati dhirvidamiha. Khidyati dhirvidamiha means the intelligence of great learned souls is disturbed by trying to understand what is Krishna. Name vidhu saraganaha prabhavam na maharshayaha hamadirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasaha. You know this verse? Gita you read, na? Name vidhu suraganaha. Great suragana, great demigods cannot understand me. Prabhavam na maharshayaha. My influence cannot be understood by maharshis, great sages. Why? Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam cha sarvasaha. I am the adi, I am the origin or the source of all these maharshis and even these demigods also. If I am the source, how can they understand their own source? So like that, it's not very easy to understand Krishna. People may have different analysis of Krishna. Krishna is like this, Krishna is like that. And especially they do negative analysis of his character. So they are just ruining their lives. And those who are doing positive analysis of Krishna, positive means trying to appreciate Krishna's activities, leelas and various attributes and his other interactions and qualities. So they are also getting a very superficial, very basic understanding of what Krishna is. Because no one can understand Krishna completely. Nantam vidam yahamami monayograjaste maya balasya purushasya kutovaraye gayan gunan dasha shatanana adideva seshodhunapi nabhavastati nastyaparam. The original incarnation, the first incarnation, Adideva, that is Anantasesha, Sankarshan. With his thousands of hoods, he is trying to enumerate Krishna's qualities and activities since time immemorial. He did not reach an end. If Adisesha, with his unlimited hoods, is trying since time immemorial to enumerate, not elaborate, to count the qualities of Krishna, what is our capacity to understand Krishna or describe Krishna. So, muhyanti yat suraiha. In trying to understand Krishna, even great learned scholars also may get bewildered. How they get bewildered? Tejo vari murdam yatha. So, this line is an explanation of this muhyanti yat suraiha. So, tejo means fire, vari, water, mridam, earth. Sometimes people may get confused. They see water and they think it is land. Who was confused like that? Duryodhan. He saw water, he said it's land only. He started walking, he fell into the pond, everyone did laugh. Did you know that? Duryodhan, Vaisabha. So, like that, some people may see land and confuse that it is water. In a desert, there is a mirage. From a distance, you see, hey, there's water body there. Let me go and then quench my thirst. You just run, run, and water body is not coming on. You can see it at a little distance, but you just go and that water body is not existing only. Right? So you may see earth, confuse it to be water. You may see water, think that it is earth. You may see fire, think that it is water. You see, sometimes the fire flames are coming, sometimes there is, you see watery waves on the fire flames. Right? And sometimes you see a very hot object there. You know, hey, it's not hot. You just touch it like this. Hey, then your hand burns. You think it's cool. Sometimes you see a cool object and then think that it is very hot. I will not touch it. Hey, it's cool. People will say. So you may get confused between material elements. Right? So just like people may get bewildered sometimes by in their interactions with material elements, earth, water, fire, etc. Similarly, in trying to understand the absolute truth, people get bewildered. Is clear? That is the fifth quality. Sixth aspect of the absolute truth is vinimayo yatra trisargo amrisha. So vinimaya means action and reaction. Of what? Yatra trisarga. Trisarga means three modes. There are three modes. Sattva, Rajas, Tama. So, because of these three modes, there are so many actions and reactions in this world. In fact, this entire material universe manifested because of the action and reaction of these three modes. How is it? You will understand in 2nd canto, 5th chapter, and 3rd canto, 5th chapter, and 11th canto also, Dhaukita also it comes. This whole creation is manifested because of the interaction between three modes. Is clear? So, yatra trisargo amrusha. The word amrusha means factual. Mrusha means false. Amrusha means not false. So, we see this material universe which is manifested as a result of the interaction between modes, material modes. We see that and think that it is fact. We think material world is permanent. This why this happens? Because of his three modes, his energies only. So the absolute truth, the personality Krishna is that person whose energies, the three modes, make you convince that whatever they are manifesting is correct. Only because of the absolute truth, we get bewildered and we think that the action and reaction manifested by these three modes is correct, is false, is not false, is factual. Means, because of Krishna's external energy, we tend to think that the parents who gave us birth are my eternal parents. These friends, these are my eternal friends. This house is my eternal home. And this money, this prosperity eternally belongs to me. So, there is a lot of possessiveness towards temporary material objects and relationships. Where is that material relationships, where is that thought that these material relationships are objects becoming substantial? is coming into our minds. We consider something so stupid and so insubstantial and as permanent. Why? Because of his energies. Whatever is being manifested by the action and reaction of these three material modes is insubstantial, is temporary. In one sense, it is false. But we consider it amrusha, factual, permanent, eternal, only because of Krishna's external energy. This is clear? This is the sixth point. So this material world, which is a manifestation of the material modes, is not factual, but it appears factual because of Krishna's material energy, because of his influence. Then what is factual? If the material world is not factual, there should be some world which is factual, which is permanent, which is eternal. That is dhamna svena sada nirasta kohakam. Dhamna svena means Krishna's own abode, that is the spiritual world, Vrindavan dham and Vaikuntha dham, Vaikuntha loka, paravyoma, that is eternal. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kohakam. Sada means Krishna always stays there, and that is nirasta kohakam. Kohakam is illusion. Nirasta means absence. So this kind of material illusion is absent in his dham, eternal abode, Vrindavan dham, spiritual world. So this one verse talks about the material world and the spiritual world and various features of the absolute truth. Right? Krishna or the absolute truth, supreme absolute truth Krishna, eternally exists in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from illusion. Satyam param dhimahi, I meditate on that absolute truth. So this is the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Exciting, isn't it? So this is one explanation given by Prabhupada. We'll discuss the purport of this verse, and later we will discuss five more explanations given by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. I think this class will go into that only. Are you interested to know how Chakravarti Pada explains the same verse in five different ways? You know this already? You already have read it earlier? Anyone has read it? Five explanations by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. How acharyas meditate on each verse of Bhagavatam. How they present such illuminating perspectives of one verse only. One verse can be looked at in different angles and understood from different perspectives. All devotional perspectives. As I said, one word Sanskrit can have multiple meanings. Atma, soul, Atma, super soul, Atma, body. Atma can mean mind also. Atma can mean intelligence also. Atma can mean anything depending on the context there. Atmanam akhilatmanam. First Atma is Paramatma, second Atma is Atma. The same line also, same phrase also, you may get the two Atmas and they mean both different. They both mean totally different. Okay. So we have discussed the meaning only, the translation of this verse only. We will see the purport of this verse a little more elaborately. In the first paragraph, Prabhupada says that Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. So right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, obeisances are offered to Vasudeva, Krishna. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. And this is confirmed in Bhagavatam. This is confirmed in Krishna Sandarbha. This is confirmed in Brahma Samhita. And this is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita also and many other places also. So Bhagavatam. So Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. Bhagavatam begins with his name and meditation on Krishna. And Krishna is the cause of all causes. And this work, this Bhagavatam, is a spotless Purana. Because who wrote all the Puranas? You know this? Who wrote all the Puranas? Vyasadeva wrote. How many Puranas he wrote? 18 Puranas. So after writing, Was he satisfied? No. Why he was not satisfied? Insufficient glorification of Krishna and overemphasis on four purusharthas, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Because of that, he did not get satisfaction. He was despondent. He felt a sense of incompleteness in his heart. So, Narada Muni came and instructed him and told him to write Srimad Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam he already wrote as a part of mode of goodness Puran. But there was no sufficient glorification of Krishna, so he revised it after Narada Muni's instruction. So, after writing this Bhagavat Purana with full glorification of Krishna, he was satisfied. So then which is the best of all Puranas? Bhagavatam. So this Purana is that book that gave satisfaction to the author himself. Now some company makes a product and then advertises that product. This is our best product. Of course, now companies advertise every single stupid product of theirs as best only. And after 10 days, they will release another best product. This is better than best. And after 2 months, another better than best product will come. This is the best ever. This is ultimate. And after ultimate also, there is something more. So not that kind of thing. But if a company claims that this is our most stupid product, will you ever purchase it? The company itself says, this is not our best product. This is our best product. Then you prefer that. Then also you doubt. But if it is a genuine company, then you prefer what they claim to be the best than what they claim to be the worst. So Vyasadeva is claiming, I have written so many books, my best book is Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam becomes the highest praman. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajeshatanayastadhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenava Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramana Vamalam Prema Pumartho Mahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor Matamidam Tatradara Napara. So, in the Chaitanya Matta Manjusha commentary, Srinath Chakravarti, another Acharya. So he presents the conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya in this verse. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayaha. Our Aradhya Bhagavan, our worshipable personality of Godhead is Krishna. Who is that Krishna? Vrajesha Tanayaha. He is the son of the king of Vrindavan, son of Nanda Maharaj. So Krishna in his form as cowherd boy in Vrindavan is our supreme worshipable master, Govinda, Gopinath, Madana Mohan, Vrindavan Bihari, Radha Raman. So he is our worshipable master. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshataneha Tad Dhama Vrindavanam. Vrindavan is his topmost abode. Not Vaikuntha is not the topmost. Vrindavan is topmost. Mathura and Dwaraka, above that is Vrindavan. Okay. Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Vakalpita. The best form of worship of Krishna is the way in which the gopis of Vrindavan worshipped him. Gopis did the best form, best worship of Krishna. Next, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. Puranam Amalam. This Bhagavatam is the best Purana. Who is saying this? Lord Chaitanya is saying. Prema Pumartho Mahanda, topmost goal, attainable goal of a living entity, of a human being especially, is to develop love for Krishna. So these are the five conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya. So if Lord Chaitanya accepted Bhagavatam as the topmost praman, what's your problem to accept it? So Bhagavatam is the topmost praman. Prabhupada is saying like that. This work is described by Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya as the spotless Puran because it contains the transcendental narration of the personality of Godhead Krishna. Why it has become the topmost Puran? Because of its content. What is the content? Krishna. Krishna is exclusively glorified in this Bhagavata Puran. And Krishna is established very emphatically as the supreme personality of Godhead, the fountainhead of all incarnations, the source of all incarnations, the treasure house of all incarnations. That is Krishna. That is mentioned in Bhagavatam. And all his leelas, there are 335 chapters in Bhagavatam, out of which 90 chapters are in 10th canto, and 31 chapters are there in the 11th canto. 121 chapters are exclusively narrating Krishna's activities and his teachings and his various pastimes, his appearance and disappearance. And apart from these 121 chapters, many other places in Bhagavatam also you find descriptions of Krishna. Thus, Krishna and his activities and his tattva is the topmost topmost subject matter of entire Srimad Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam has Krishna as the prime subject matter, Bhagavatam becomes the prime scripture. That scripture that exclusively glorifies Krishna is the best scripture, simple. Which is the best scripture? That scripture that glorifies Krishna, done. Answer is simple. Your answer has to be simple. Because Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? It is natural for a philosophical mind to understand the origin of the creation. So Prabhupada establishes the glory of Bhagavatam. First paragraph he mentioned about Krishna. Second paragraph he mentioned about Bhagavatam. Third paragraph he comes to the verse. Janmadyasya yataha. Means, sometimes you may just sleep on the terrace. So now here in Govardhanika village, you don't have to sleep on the terrace also. Wherever you lie down, you see stars, you see the sky. No skyscrapers are there to block your vision of the sky. Night time, go to Keshi Ghat. Don't do that. So, you just lie down there, you see stars, you see the open sky. So, sometimes one may get it out. What are these stars? Where are they? How far are they? Who created them? Why are they hanging there? How are they shining there? This kind of questions may come, right? Especially to small children. So Prabhupada says that answer is, that question is answered in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Janmadyasya yataha. He, Krishna, is the origin of all creation, maintenance and destruction. The stars are hanging in the sky and shining there in their orbits because Krishna is the cause. So Krishna says, Prabhupada says, Krishna is the origin of all creations. Krishna is the origin. All the universes with innumerable stars and planets are controlled by the intelligence of the personality of Godhead. In the Vedic literatures, it is said that the personality of Godhead is the chief amongst all living personalities. There is a verse. Nityo nityanam chetanas chetananam eko bahunam yo vidhati kaman. He is the chief eternal amongst all eternals. You are able to follow? You are able to follow? Everybody? Fine? So, for example, a company is there. A big multinational company is there. There may be, say, 1,000 employees in that company. There could be more also. For example, 1,000 employees are there. There is CEO, there is the boss of the company. He is also an employee of the company, you can say. And there is a peon. There is a security wala standing at the gate. And there is a clerk. There is an accountant. And there is some other local manager, general manager. So who is the chief amongst all these people? The main boss, the CEO, right? So CEO is also an employee. He is also a living person, human being. And the person who is sweeping the floor in that same company, he is also an employee. He is also a human being. Can you equate both of them? Can they both sit in the same chair? Same office, same cabin, same facilities, same uniform? Is it possible? No. Similarly, there are millions and trillions of living entities in the entire cosmic manifestation, but the chief eternal living being is Krishna. Right? Prabhupada says that. He is the supreme living being. Every living being has some intelligence. A cat has intelligence to enter the kitchen when the housewife is absent and drink the milk. A human being has intelligence to go in the night in the reserve bank and then just surpass all the watchmen and then somehow steal the money. Cat has intelligence to steal milk. Man has intelligence to steal money. So both have intelligence. And some people use their intelligence in very constructive ways. Some people use them in destructive ways. But who possesses the greatest intelligence, the topmost intelligence? The chief eternal. The CEO of a company is supposed to be more intelligent than the peon who is sweeping the floor there. Is it not? So his words will have more value and his orders and instructions will have more influence than a security officer. He also has some influence, but he has little influence. If he is a security head, he can call some of his subordinates, order them. But it is not like that when it comes to the case of the Supreme Lord. He has influence over every single aspect of the entire cosmic manifestation. He can control every single living entity in the entire cosmic manifestation. He is the chief eternal. He is the supreme absolute truth. And he possesses the greatest intelligence. Inconceivable intelligence. So Vyasadeva, however, at once accepts the supreme intelligence as Parameshwara. So that supreme intelligent person is Krishna. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya vai sarvamidam proktam sutre maniganaiva. There is no one superior to me. Mattaha parataram na anyat. There is no one superior to me. Some Mayavadis interpret. I was studying in IISc. We were making a drama. Mahamurkha. You read that EBG series? Essence of Bhagavad Gita by His Grace Radhisham Prabhu. So I read that book. I read that Mahamurkha story in that book. In my college days, 2005 or 6. So it's Ganesh Chaturthi. We wanted to do a drama. Mahamurkha drama. So I just took the script, took the story and then wrote a script with a lot of comedy in it, entertaining, entertainment, and some characters were created, some dialogues were created, this and that, so many things we made. So at that time, I was having a discussion, because this whole drama, although it's supposed to be entertaining, it is supposed to be enlightening. Give enlightenment to what kind of crowd? People who just came to enjoy on Ganesh Chaturthi with all kinds of movie songs and other things. There's a big samiti there, Telugu samiti. They told me to become the president there at that time in my second year. I said, I will not do. I don't want this. I can't entertain all of you. So, in the way you want. So at that time I asked one person who was doing PhD there, I was doing my MA. So this is my concept. He is a Dramacharya. Dramacharya. We have Namacharya here, there is Dramacharya there. So we asked Dramacharya Srila Sivaram Krishna. His name was Sivaram Krishna. So I presented my concept. So he said, okay, there are so many things happened, I just cut it, put it short. So he was giving this, another fellow is there in that team only. He is into Shankara and then all this, Ramana Maharshi and all that. So he said, Matta parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya. We had a discussion on this sloka. I said, Matta parataram nanyat means there is no one superior to Krishna. And he says, no, Matta parataram nanyat. No one different from me. Everybody is me. Everybody is God. Everybody is Vishnu. Parataram na anyat. No one is different from me. That is his interpretation. Sanskrit knowledge. I said, fine man, let's focus on the script. I can't enter a philosophical discussion. I was too new at that time. At least my faith was not shaken at that time, although I was new. So, there's no one, that's what Prabhupada says here. That Parameshwara is Krishna as admitted in Bhagavad Gita and other scriptures delivered by Vyasadeva and specifically in Bhagavatam. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord says that there is no other paratattva than Himself. No other paratattva. There is no other supreme truth than me. There is no one superior to me. These are the right interpretations. Vaishnavacharyas also interpret the Sanskrit to mean the same word can mean different things. But all the interpretations of Vaishnavacharyas align to our Siddhanta. You take 15 Acharyas commentaries of different Acharyas in Srimad Bhagavatam. No one contradicts the five conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya we just discussed. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajeshataniya Taddhama Vrindavan and all. But in terms of details, one Acharya may give one meaning to one Sanskrit word, another meaning to another same Sanskrit word. Another Acharya will give another meaning. Yesterday we were discussing Yatyaktva Sudhusthita Surepsisa Rajya Lakshmi Dharmishta Arya Vachasa Yadagadaranyam Maya Mrugam Dayita Ipsita Manvadhavat Vande Mahapurushate Charanaravindam. One interpretation is this verse is about Ram. Another interpretation is this verse is about Krishna. Another interpretation is this verse is about Lord Chaitanya. All are correct. Apparently all three are different. If it means Ram, how can it mean Krishna? Both are different incarnations. Ram came in Dwapara Yuga and Ram came in Treta Yuga, Krishna came in Dwapara Yuga. Mahaprabhu came in Kali Yuga. How can you put all three and use the same Sanskrit words to explain all three? What was Vyasadeva's mood here? He is the author of this verse. He wrote the original verse. In what mood? Meditating on whom did he write this verse? When Vyasadeva wrote, Lord Chaitanya did not come yet. How can you interpret this verse as Lord Chaitanya? Different people may have different opinions. But as long as ultimate Siddhanta is not being compromised, what's your problem? Right? So, Acharyas agree to this conclusion. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajeshataniya Saddhama Vrindavanam, etc., etc. But all these apparent contradictions amongst the explanations of Vaishnava Acharyas, apparent contradictions, they should be seen as variety, not contradictions. Variety. No, you see, this is a phone. What do you see? Advaita Prabhu. What do you see on the phone? Mahaprabhu. Yes, what do you see? Kusta dikh rahe na? You are seeing phone. What are you seeing now? Okay, back cover. Okay, he is seeing back cover. What is there? What else is there on the back cover? Camera is there, and MI. So now you are seeing Mahaprabhu. He is seeing MI. And camera. Both are correct. So your Mahaprabhu is correct. You can't say you are correct and you are correct. You are seeing the same object from different perspectives. So both of your descriptions are correct. Nothing wrong. Right? Similarly, a verse can be looked at in different angles. So one Acharya is highlighting one feature of that verse, which is one way of glorifying Krishna. Another Acharya is seeing another feature of that verse, which is another way of glorifying Krishna. As long as glorification of Krishna is happening, you can see it from any angle. Right? When he says it's MI, it's perfectly clear. Of course, it's MI phone. And you are seeing Mahaprabhu. Of course, my wallpaper is Mahaprabhu. Sri Gauranga. Fine. Both are correct. You see this way. You say that it is 5-inch wide. 5-inch, whatever, 5 centimeters, 6 centimeters wide. That's correct. That's perfect description. May not be complete description, but it is also correct description. Right? Similarly, different acharyas in different contexts highlight different things. Take it all. No, you combine all of them. If you have the appetite to assimilate and go through all these commentaries and relish Bhagavatam from different angles and relish the nectar of Bhagavatam, you are welcome. But don't get into comparing them. Not necessarily. It's not our job. Like that. So, Srila Vyasadeva therefore gives the reader the chance to gradually develop spiritual realization. Another point here is, one has to study Srimad Bhagavatam in a systematic manner. Initially also we emphasized on it. Systematic, not haphazard. The only qualification to read this book is, Prabhupada writes in one of these purports, to read it chapter by chapter, the way Vyasadeva is presenting. I included it in Bhagavad Subodhini also. 13th page of Subodhini. Prabhupada's quote from the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam begins with the definition of ultimate source. It is a bona fide commentary on the Vedanta Sutra and gradually develops into 9 cantos to the highest stage of God realization. The only qualification one needs to study this great book of transcendental knowledge is to proceed step by step, cautiously, and not jump forward haphazardly as with an ordinary book. Prabhupada discourages directly jump to Ras Panchadhyaya. Okay, let me open Gajendra episode and then read. Let me open some other episode and read. So, a lot of emphasis is given in systematic study. It should be gone through chapter by chapter, one after another. Like that Prabhupada says. Next, Satyam Param Dhimahi. It also purposely invokes a Gayatri mantra. I will not highlight this perspective. Jiva Goswami, I think he gives how it's all Gayatri mantra. Some of you are not Brahmins, right? Yet. So let's not get into that. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the narration of the Swarup of the Lord, manifested by His internal potency. Next, Dhamna, Svena, Tejo, Vari, all that we discussed earlier also. This is important line. The temporary manifestations are so created as to present an illusion of reality to the bewildered mind of the conditioned soul, who appears in so many species of life. See, this is an explanation of this. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo amrusha. Yatra trisargo amrusha. In this material world, the combination of modes present so many illusions to you. Illusions to the already bewildered conditioned soul, and keep them stick to this material world. First, this fellow is confused, bewildered. On top of it, another bewildering incident or activity or some presentation came in front of him. He'll be more bewildered. So then he'll be bewildered to stay here only. That's how the material energy works. So directly or indirectly, Krishna is conscious of everything. Prabhupada explains that with a chief engineer example. For example, a big construction is going on and there is a chief engineer there. And he may not be touching the cement or reti or running the JCB, running pokalin or actually doing the mason work. He may not do all that. He's an engineer. He just gives the plan and he's conscious of where is what. He is completely aware of the entire dimensions of the building, what it would be after 2 months, after 3 months, after 4 months, all that he understands. But the local coolie, the labor who is hands-on working on it, may not know all the details. All he has to do is mix cement with some sand, put some water in it, and then make a mortar and give it to the mason. Whole day, 8 hours, he will do that work only. What mason has to do, I have to complete this wall, put brick here, put the mortar, brick, and then put that mall. Then complete the wall. That's all he knows. What does the carpenter do? I have to fit the door here, okay, and put the, what is that called, door frame, and put doors there, put some varnish there, put some paint there, polishing. That's all he has to do. He focuses on that part. So different people are participating in that making of the building. Everybody knows a little aspect of it, but the chief engineer of the building knows everything. Right? It is Krishna. Krishna knows every nook and corner of the entire cosmic manifestation. However, individual personalities may know little bit of this cosmos to some extent. Right? Tene Brahmaharada Adi Kavaye, that also I have mentioned. Because Brahmaji did not go to school or college or university or Vidyapeeth to learn the Vedic knowledge. It was revealed to him from within his heart by Krishna. And Krishna is Swarat, means independent, completely independent. No one can claim to be Abhigna, no one can claim to be Swarat. Prabhupada says, Krishna is only fully cognizant and independent. We have minute independence. We are minutely cognizant of certain things. But Krishna is completely cognizant, completely independent. So no scientist can claim that. So Prabhupada says, Mayavadi people who flatter themselves saying that I have become God are not Abhigna or not Swarat. He may claim to be God. Danda grahana matrena naram narayano bhavit. Just by accepting danda, sannyas danda, I have become Narayan. Mayavadis may think like that. But will he become Narayan? No. Just by claiming to be Narayan doesn't make one Narayan. Narayan is Narayan. He can't go and take his post, take his name. Right? You may become Narayan Das, but you can't become Narayan. You take one dandar, two dandar, 100 dandas. You'll become, you remain what you are only. So even Mayavadis, impersonalists, who flatter themselves that they can become one with God, are neither Abhigna nor Swarat. Scientists, they claim, we can manufacture so many things. God has created flowers, we will also create flowers. But will you create the fragrance? Okay, I will put saint there. Fine, no problem. Will it give, how long it will stay? It will stay more time than your natural flower, fine. Will it give pollen? Will it produce another flower? Will it produce another plant? That we can't do. I'll produce more flowers. Don't produce direct flowers. Produce something that can reproduce many things. So Krishna has created the system in such a way that by the interaction between male and female, more males and more females will come. And they interact with more males or females, the more will come. So like that, one Swayambhu Manu, one Shatarupa, in the beginning of the creation, their children populated the entire universe. You see? So no scientist can do like that. They create one thing and then so many things will just come on it. Every time your intervention is needed. Right? So that's why no one is Swarat. No one is Abhigna also. And Krishna can create unlimited people and he is aware of what's happening with everybody. Can a scientist minutely monitor everything? He cannot be doing that. So like that, it's elaborated. So we completed the first verse as explained by Prabhupada. It's 11:56. Now we will take Chakravartipa's explanations. Go to Bhagavad Subodhani. Go to special verses section. And go to 192, page number 192. In the previous version, the page number can be a little different. But it's all right. Both the content is same. Five facets of the first verse. So this verse is explained in five different ways by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. First explanation is that this first verse of Bhagavatam describes that absolute truth is transcendental. Second explanation. This first verse is actually declaring Krishna's form. Third explanation. This verse is actually a description of the conjugal rasa, madhurya rasa. Fourth explanation. This is actually a description of Radha and Krishna. Fifth explanation. Actually, this first verse is a description of Bhakti Yoga. One verse can mean different things. Let's see how it is. First explanation we will see. You can go through the table. The summary is given. All the whatever 20-25 pages of commentary, and all the details we could not include. It is just a bird's eye view. Whole Subodhini is like this only. You just get a bird's eye view of the whole chapter or whole purport or some explanation, some sections like that. Condensed. Right? Because people are becoming very impatient to read series of paragraphs and then figure out what's happening where. So let's condense everything and make it very restless presentation. Every two lines you get the heading changes. then okay, fine. Just be reading one paragraph, people will understand. So that's how we made the notes. Janmadyasya yataha. That is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. So the first explanation by Chakravartipad is same as Prabhupada's explanation. Anvayad itaratascha. He is the material and efficient cause, or you can say he is the direct and indirect cause of everything. Artheshu abhignaha. You don't have a book, you can borrow from someone, you can see someone else's book. That becomes easy. You can share. Anyone doesn't have a book? Yes, Rakesh will join someone. Only two of you, no? You take from Hemrup Chaitanya. So, Anvayad itaratascha. He is the material and efficient cause. Artheshu abhignaha. He is the only knower of all objects. You have a book, Harshit Prabhu?
Yes.
Swarat is the only independent being. Tene Brahma Hriday Adi Kavaye. So he is the one who revealed the Vedas to Brahmaji from within his heart or mind. Fine. Muhyante Yat Surayaha. It's very difficult to understand this person, this absolute truth, even by the learned people. Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo Yatra Trisargo Amrisha. That means his body. He is thought to be made of matter due to illusion. Just like someone may mistake fire, water, earth for each other. Similarly, when Krishna descends in this world, people think that he is also another material person. Naradara Kena. He is an ordinary boy stealing butter from other people's houses. Or what is that verse? Maya javanika channam agna dhokshajam avyayam na lakshase mudhadrusha nato natya dharo yatha. Where is this from? Kunti Maharani's prayers. So maya javanika channam, because of being covered by the curtain of maya, people are unable to see Krishna as he is. Avajananti mam mudha manushim tanumashritaha param bhavam ajananto mama bhuta maheshwaram. When Krishna descends as a human being in this world, people cannot understand that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. They misunderstand him as an ordinary human being. That's what is mentioned. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayu. Dhamna svena sada nirasta kuhakam. So although people have so many misunderstandings about this absolute truth, still Krishna negates all these false arguments regarding his existence by possessing a transcendental, inconceivable form. And by the strength of his devotees experiencing that form. So now, how does he change the conception of people or defeat this impersonal conception or materialistic conception which is present in the people in general? By holding his beautiful, transcendental, all-blissful Satchidananda form and by giving that experience of that form to some of his devotees. These people are relishing, oh, Krishna has a form. We say Nirakar, and why these people are saying Akar? And by seeing their conviction, these Nirakar people may get attracted and get surprised. Oh my God, something is there. Like that Mahaprabhu converted so many people like that. Sarvam Bhattacharya was a very impersonalistic person. Impersonalist. But Gopinath Acharya is a great devotee. Oftentimes there are conversations between them. So in one conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sarvam Bhattacharya, Sarvam Bhattacharya got transformed completely. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Let us meditate on that absolute truth. Second explanation is that is describing Krishna's form. Janmadyasya yataha anvayad itaratascha. Very interesting. Janmadyasya yataha. His janma, his appearance, his birth took place where? In Mathura. Mathura, you know? Vrindavan Parikrama team. Where is Mathura? Entrance of Vrindavan. Before that Vrindavan. Next to Bhuteshwar Mahadev. So, Janmadyasya yataha. It happened near our backup room. Vrindavan Forest backup room. His janma took place there. Anvayad itaratascha. Then he went to some other place. Gokul Mahavan he went by crossing that Yamuna bridge. You saw Vasudeva's diorama, Vasudeva holding Krishna diorama there. So his birth happened there. So from there, he crossed the Yamuna river and then came to Gokul Mahavan. Now you see Gokul Mahavan, Potana and all these episodes are there near. So you can read Bhagavatam and then experience Bhagavatam here in GV. Right? You can witness the Leelas. So Janmajyasya Yataha Anvayajitartascha. Like that. That is the second explanation. He took birth in Mathura and he shifted to Gokul Mahavan. It's a Vrindavan. Artheshu Abhignaha. What does that mean? Artheshu means meaning, purpose. Abhigna means being aware of, knowing. So knowing how to cheat Kamsa, knowing the purpose of Kamsa and knowing how to cheat Kamsa and also knowing that Vrindavan Vasis, Vrajavasis love me so much, Krishna shifted there. Artheshu Abhigna means he understood the heart of both devotees and the demon, Kamsa. Swarat means he remained there with his own people although he is independent. This is an opposite explanation. Krishna is supremely independent. Although he is independent, he remained dependent on Vrajavasis. If Yashoda doesn't give him milk, he becomes angry. Mother did not give me milk. He'll break some pots and then run away crying. And Yashoda may captures him and then binds him away. That also you can see. Damodar Leela Yasa, Brahmanagat, like that. He depends. And he eats dirt and people, some of his friends, go and complain to Yashodamai. This fellow is eating dirt. Do something. Then Yashodamai comes, hey, why are you eating dirt? Open your mouth. And he opens his mouth. Right? So Krishna is dependent on his devotees. Sometimes he is playing with his boys, with his cowherd boys. And Rohini comes and then calls him, Krishna come, Balram come, take prasad. Take bhoga, not prasad. So then they will not come. Why? Because the Sakya Bhaktas, these cowherd boys are saying, if you go away now, next time we will not take you in our play. And you can't play with us. If you quit the game now, play. So because they are threatening, Krishna becomes afraid, no, no, I cannot give up your play. So children have that kind of things, right? Then Yashodamai comes. She calls. These people are not coming. So now Yashoda has more vatsalya towards Krishna and Balram than Rohini had. So Rohini called, and when Krishna Balram denied, so Rohini went away and told Yashoda, you only handled. Yashoda came, she called, they are not coming. She caught both of their hands and dragged them to home, forcefully bathed them and made them sit, eat food now with Nanda Maharaj. And they have to surrender. Right? This happens in any other household. So Krishna, although he is supremely independent Swarat, he became dependent on his devotees in Vrindavan. That is Krishna's form. Tene Brahma Hriday Adi Kavaye. This is interesting. Once Brahmaji stole all the boys of Krishna, cowherd boys of Krishna and calves of Krishna. You see in our Vrindavan Vrihari temple on the top, Brahmaji is offering prayers to Krishna. And you see Vrindavan Bihari, the temple Mandovar. You know what is Mandovar? Garbhagraha outside portion is called Mandovar. So this is carved. So Brahmaji steals the boys, stone carving. And then he comes and says, sorry. So it is Krishna who revealed, who manifested himself as millions of calves and millions of cowherd boys and later revealed that all these are his Vishnu forms, Vishnu Murti forms to Brahmaji. That's what Tene Brahma Hriday Adi Kavaye means. The diorama is there near our next to this Yajnashala. You find the diorama. Brahma Vimohan Leela happened there. Next to Aghasur. So you go for Parikrama now after this class to understand things. So Tene Brahma Hriday Adi Kavaye Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. Because of Krishna's activities, Krishna's leelas, even great suris also get bewildered. Krishna killed Aghasur and Brahmaji got bewildered. My God, how can he kill Aghasur? Let me test. Narada Muni got bewildered. How can Krishna in one single body maintaining 16,108 queens? He goes there. He goes to see and he is surprised. It's not like ordinary Saubarimuni's expansions. Saubarimuni also can expand into 50 forms and then stay with 50 girls of the daughters of Mandhata. And there are other people, yogis also. Kardamuni, he expanded into 9 forms and impregnated Devahuti. She got 9 kids, 9 daughters. So Krishna's expansions in Dwaraka are not expansions of some yogis. Yes, he manifests in 16,108 forms, but it is also described that Krishna is staying with all the 16,108 queens in one single body, not even expansions. How is it exactly so? Even Narada Muni could not understand what we will understand. That's what Muhyanti Yato Suraya means. In one single body, Krishna is simultaneously having pastimes in 16,108 palaces with 16,108 queens. How? Narada Muni did not understand. He was bewildered. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo yatra trisargo amrisha. So, in whose body, though appearing to be material to the demons, is not temporary at all. So his body, Krishna's body, appears material to all the demons that are coming to attack Krishna in Vrindavan. So Aghasura was literally thinking, I will swallow this fellow. I will swallow all these people. And Bakasura was thinking that I will kill Krishna. Vatsasura was thinking the same thing. Arishtasura was thinking the same thing. Thinking that Krishna is an ordinary material boy. Maya Shritanam Naradharakena. So demons were attacking. Dhamna Svena Sadanirastha Kohakam. Through his abode Mathura, Dhamna, and by revelation of his form to his devotees, he destroys the ignorance about himself. Okay. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Let us meditate on that Krishna who is known as Satya. He is the supreme absolute truth. The demigods in the 10th canto, they glorify Krishna as Satya Vratam Satya Param Trisatyam Satyasya Satyam Satyasya Satyam Vrata Satya Netram Satyatmakam Tvam Sharanam Prapadhi. Satya. Krishna is Satya, ultimate truth. That is second. Second explanation describes Krishna's form. Third explanation is about conjugal rasa. What is conjugal rasa? Madhurya rasa. Janmadyasya yataha. Janmadyasya yataha means from whom arises this madhura rasa. Through anvayaditaratasya means regular meaning is directly indirectly. Here meaning is meeting and separation. Vipralambha and sambhoga. So madhura rasa, the conjugal rasa, the madhurya rasa between Krishna and the gopis of Vrindavan is relished by these two parties through meeting and separation. They meet, there is happiness, they are separated from each other. At the same time also there is another flavor of spiritual happiness. Okay, that is called vipralambha. So this conjugal rasa is like that. So this conjugal rasa shows the highest sweetness that Krishna can experience with the gopis. Okay. Though he has so many other associates like Santa associates, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, still Madhuri Rasa happens to be the topmost. So, next, Artheshu Abhignaha means Krishna is very skillful in understanding things, understanding everything related to Rasa. He is the most skillful. Artheshu Abhignaha. Next, he is the hero. Swarat means his form is beyond the material form, or this conjugal rasa is beyond this material realm. Tene Brahma Hrida Adi Kavaye. This is another tricky meaning. It is Krishna who conveyed to Bharatamuni the same Madhura Rasa. He is Bharatamuni, you know, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, we have so many terminologies adopted by this Rupa Goswami, 12 rasas, 5 primary and 7 secondary. So all this rasa terminology is coming from Bharat Muni. He is a kavi there. Here Adikavi refers to Bharat Muni in this explanation. He was given some knowledge about Madhura Rasa. No idea, bro. Someone can see. I don't exactly. Muhyanti yat surayaha. About which other poets get bewildered. About Madhura Rasa, Bharat Muni had some understanding. But other poets, they don't have understanding. They get bewildered. How they get bewildered? And this is another different thing. Tejo vayari mridam yatha vinimayo yatratri sargo mrisha. In whom alone arises the three types of literary meaning in extraordinary form. So there are three types of meanings. Literal meaning, metaphorical meaning, and suggested meaning. So, or you can say dhani, guna, alankara. They are little technical linguistic terms. For example, what is this? Mobile. So, mobile means that which can move. So, Vikas Prabhu is also mobile only. Harshad Prabhu is also mobile only. Can you move? You are mobile. But by the word mobile, what do you understand? Phone, cell phone. So, literally, mobile means anything that is movable. But conventionally, the word mobile means phone, cell phone. And you may not be consciously aware of the usage of, aware of the literal meaning, right? Mobile, by default, you will understand it's a cell phone. You may not, the word cell phone may not even come in your mind, but mobile means it's this only. You can easily understand. Mobile means anything mobile is called mobile. Can this be called mobile? Anything can be called. There's no confusion. Give me your mobile. If I say like that, you will not ask me. Mobile means anything mobile is mobile, Prabhu. So what exactly you want? You want my pen? You want my specs? They are not mobile. You want me? So you don't ask that question. You directly give your cell phone. Is it not? So conventionally it is understood. Conventional meaning. But literally it has something, some other meaning only. Right? So like that there are different meanings. So in whom arises alone, in Madhura Rasa, these three types of literary meaning also may come. Right? That's the linguistic explanation. Dhamna asvena sada nirasta kuhakam. Who defeats the withered arguers by the extraordinary influence of Madhura Rasa. Satyam param dhimahi. Let us meditate on that Krishna. Who is the object or shelter of this Madhura Rasa. Okay. This is little esoteric meaning. Fourth is also esoteric. Radha and Krishna together. Janmadyasya yataha means from whom arises Madhura Rasa through, from whom arises the height of Madhura Rasa. So Madhura Rasa or Madhurya Rasa, conjugal rasa or Shringara Rasa is the topmost rasa which is experienced by the gopis of Vrindavan. But is there anything higher than that? Amongst all the gopis who are experiencing Madhura Rasa, Srimati Radharani is the topmost. So the height of Madhura Rasa is experienced by Radharani. That's what is Janmadyasya Yataha. From whom arises the height of Madhura Rasa. Anvayaditaratascha. This means, in the midst of Rasalila, Krishna left the other gopis and followed Srimati Radharani. Anvayaditaratascha. Artheshu abhignaha. Means Krishna as Dhira Lalita, he showed his expertise in the chief aspects of Rasa. He is very skillful. Dhira Lalita means a male lover who is extremely smart and skillful in his dealings with the lover, the girl, like that. Swarat means, now Srimati Radharani exhibited herself as an independent lover. Because in the Rasa Leela, you find one Krishna is between two gopis. Like that, there's a big circle. But one Krishna is alone with Srimati Radharani in the middle of the circle. You see, next near our Gopeshwar Mahadev, there is that. Right? So, there's a special attention given to Srimati Radharani, right? Even in the Rasa Leela. So, she herself exhibited as an independent lover. So, Krishna, then Tene Brahmarda Adikavya means Krishna imparted through the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, knower of this madha, this rasa, from birth, the Bhagavatam. So, here Adikavi Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna imparted the knowledge of Bhagavatam into the heart of Sukadeva Goswami, who became aware of the glory of Madhura Rasa and glory of Srimati Radharani. That is Tene Brahmarada Adikavi. Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. Here Muhyanti means not just getting bewildered, it's getting ecstatic, fainting. That is Muhyanti Yat Surayaha. So devotees faint in ecstasy, experiencing these explanations of Radha and Krishna. Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo. Just as fire, water, earth reverse their properties, similarly devotees also may just become so much ecstatic by hearing the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, like that. That is Muhyanti Yat Swaraya. Devotees may experience so much of ecstasy, tears, horripilation, hair standing on end, that kind of things. Without Krishna's blessing, Sukadeva Goswami cannot understand and assimilate Bhagavatam. From within. So, yatra trisargo amrisha dhamna svena sada nirastha kohakam. That is, by whose influence the three sakhis remain, three shaktis remain eternally. Who are these three shaktis? Shri, Bhu and Leela. So, trisarga can mean these three potencies are three abodes. Like Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwaraka are three classes of gopis. There are friendly gopis, neutral gopis and opposing gopis. So like that, Trisarga can mean so many things. So, I mean, it's like, it's a lot on the first day. I'm just giving a bird's eye view. Okay. All three are insignificant compared to Srimati Radharani. Because all the desires of Krishna are completely fulfilled only by Srimati Radharani. Satyam param dhimahi, without deceit, in correct manner, aspiring for the highest goal, we meditate on Radha and Krishna. Like that. Mathura, Vrindavan and Dwarka, three abodes of the Lord. Next. Last explanation is about the Abhideya, the process of Bhakti Yoga, devotional service. So, Janmadhyasya Yataha means that which brings about the appearance of the Lord as Bhagavan. Bhakti Yoga brings about the appearance of the Lord in your heart. That's what Janmadhyasya Yataha means. Anvaya Yataratascha, in which there is realization of Brahman and Paramatma. So, when you have realization of Bhagavan, Brahman and Paramatma realizations are by default there, within that realization. You don't have to separately endeavor for them. When you are interacting with a person, his effulgence is right there. Means impersonal Brahman is also there. That way. When you are drinking milk, you are seeing the milk also. You are touching the milk also. So, all other senses are also coming in contact with milk. So, in the third canto, Prabhupada gives this beautiful analogy. There is milk. So, if you approach the milk with your sense of nose, you will get the fragrance of it. If you approach the same milk with the sense of your touch, you will understand it is cold or hot. If it's hot, then you will do like this. Cold, okay. I need to heat it. And if you approach the milk with your sense of ears, you will understand it's packet milk, powder milk, patmeda milk, cow milk, buffalo milk, etc. etc. So that is, you can just hear about the milk. If you approach the milk with the sense of eyes, you will see as a white substance. Now you see, you understand milk just by seeing it. You just see a white substance, nothing else happens. You are not bringing any other senses in touch with it. So, if you drink the milk through your mouth, you will get the full nourishment of the milk. The whole purpose of the milk is fulfilled. You will get the maximum benefit of the milk by coming in contact with the milk through your sense of mouth, right? Drinking it. But by bringing other senses in contact with the milk, you will not get the complete benefit of it. You will not get the complete realization of that milk, right? Similarly, if we approach the Supreme Lord Krishna with devotional service, we get complete understanding of Krishna, complete realization of Krishna. But if we approach the same Krishna through other processes of mental speculation or some meditation or some material desires, we will not get complete understanding of Krishna, complete realization of Krishna. Karmis will go to the Lord, will perceive the Lord as order supplier. Jnanis see him impersonal. They want to merge into that impersonal existence. Yogis see him as Paramatma and they just try to meditate on his lotus feet within their hearts, Paramatma. So all of them cannot get complete realization of the Lord. But a bhakta just renders service to the Lord and the Lord will come under his control. You see, they understand the difference between all these processes. The process of karma yoga doesn't exist in the spiritual world. The process of jnana yoga doesn't exist in the spiritual world. The process of ashtanga yoga has no existence in the spiritual world. You don't see anybody doing asanas in the spiritual world. You don't see anyone aspiring to merge in Brahman in the spiritual world. You don't see anyone who is meditating on Paramatma in the spiritual world. No Paramatma only in the spiritual world. No need. Paramatma is there in the material world only. You don't see anyone endeavoring for Siddhis, Anima, Mahima, Laghima in the spiritual world. You don't see anyone aspiring for material benedictions like Karmis, I want to enter heaven from Goloka. No one will think like that. So all these processes are existing only in the material world, not in the spiritual world. Only bhakti is existing in the spiritual world and we are fortunate enough to enter the path of bhakti, giving up all the other processes. We are so fortunate. So that it is independent of other processes. That's what is mentioned here. Swarat means bhakti process is independent of other processes. Artheshu abhignaha, it has complete knowledge. Jnanam cha dahaitukam vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yogah prayojitah janayatyasa vairagyam jnanam cha yadahaitukam. Okay. Next. Dene brahmahrudayati kavya means this bhakti yoga was revealed by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva. Narada Muni told Vyasadeva, yeah, you have written so many scriptures, nowhere there is so much emphasis on bhakti. You have emphasized four purusharthas so much and bhakti yoga you didn't emphasize only. Emphasize bhakti yoga now. Like that he says. Then muhyanti yat swaraiha, it is bewildering to even great sages. By trying to understand by one's own efforts, like one cannot get the right understanding of Krishna, right understanding of bhakti yoga. People think bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is meant for some incapable people. Stri sudra dvija bandhu, some simple people, they should do bhakti yoga. Hearing, chanting about Krishna. Chanting 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Only one mantra. Only 16 rounds. Only 2 hours, 1.5 hours. And this mantra has only 3 words. Not so many. So some people, especially of the previous yugas, they cannot take this as a process of self-realization. They think that it is below their dignity to chant Hare Krishna. You are asking me to chant this one mantra. Give me a mantra of 1,000 pages. I will just hear it once and repeat it to you as it is. And I can chant it for 10,000 years. Not 1.5 hour. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Right? So I can do austerities. If you ask them, will you take prasad? He will say, I just took 1,000 years back. I can stay for 2 more 1,000 years. No problem. Don't worry. I don't need prasad now. So the intellectual capacity, the mental capacity, the physical capacity, the concentration, the determination of Satyuga people and the previous ages is unimaginably and inconceivably way beyond our comprehension. So they cannot accept the simple process of Sravan Kirtan and chanting Hare Krishna as the means of deliverance. But Kaliyuga people are so poor, manda, sumanda, matayoh, manda bhagya, upadhritaha, alpayushaha, because they are so desperate, they have no capability. Chanting Hare Krishna 16 round itself becomes too much for them. For them, this is the only means of deliverance. Only they can accept with so much of desperation. Other people cannot accept with so much desperation, because they think that we can do better. Like that. So, muhyanti yat surayaha, when, why bhakti yoga bewilders great souls? Because great souls think that we can do great things than bhakti. They don't understand that their bhakti is the great. They cannot accept it. They think that something else is great. Because bhakti seems too simple to them. Hearing about Krishna, just by hearing Krishna, you will understand Krishna or what? Just by chanting Hare Krishna sufficient or what? I can do much more. I can do meditation. For 60,000 years I can do meditation. For 1.5 hours we cannot sit straight and then chant Hare Krishna. So we accept. So that's why we are fortunate to take birth in Kali Yuga. We are fortunate to receive Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Because we are so poor, we are intellectually, physically, mentally so poor, we accept this process with great desperation and great sense of urgency, and we have no other solution. The only one solution is there. No other options. Can you do 60,000 years of meditation? Can you do big yajna? Can you do such elaborate deity worship? We have no capacity to do anything. So, Hare Krishna. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Like that. Muhyanti yat suraya. Next, Tejo Vari Mridam Yatha Vinimayo. And sometimes bhakti, which is not mixed with the three gunas. Bhakti beyond the three gunas is the highest. So we'll discuss more about this in when we come to teachings of Lord Kapila, third canto. It's like too much in the first class. Dhamna Svena Sada Nirastha Kohakam, which defeats its opponents by its very nature of giving direct experience of bliss. Bhakti is here, then other things are Jnana Yoga, Karma Yoga, Vashtanga Yoga, this Yoga, that Yoga, they are all there. So, this is giving direct experience of bliss, condensed bliss. Kevala Ananda Kanda is happening here. Other people are watching the show. Hey, why is he so happy? He is in illusion. They think like that. We are not happy. We are meditating. We are discussing Vedanta. Prakashananda Saraswati said that Mahaprabhu is a sentimentalist. He is just chanting, hearing, dancing with other people on the streets. He is a sentimentalist. He is experiencing transcendental bliss, Mahaprabhu and his associates. And this Mayavadi Sannyasi Prakashananda Saraswati is thinking that they are sentimentalists. Real bliss is there in Vedanta discussions. So then Mahaprabhu came and spoke to them, what is real Vedanta? They said, actually, we are not convinced about what we are doing. Just because we happen to be initiated in Shankaracharya's cult, we are obliged to do this. Otherwise, we all didn't make much sense to us also. What we are doing doesn't make much sense to us. Right? They themselves say that. So, one only has to use little intelligence and common sense to understand that impersonalistic path doesn't have much substance and Bhakti Yoga is the highest path. So, common sense is so uncommon in this world. That's why people are still following Mayavadic path and not coming to Bhakti path. But you can't say this so insensitively in any audience. Because we are Vidyapeeth students and studying Bhagavatam, we can discuss it openly from Bhaktivedanta purports. But Just be considerate when you are mentioning this to outside people. So let us meditate on the supreme beneficial spiritual process, which is Bhakti Yoga beyond Guna. Satyam Param Dhimahi. Okay. So this is about the first verse. Enough. We can spend 3 more hours only on the first verse. But I think let's give a pause. So many details may not make, you may not find it very relevant right on the first day. After reading the entire Bhagavatam, again you come to the first verse and then read the elaborate explanations of Chakravarti Pad, all the 20-25 pages, then you will understand better. Because there is a lot of quotations from other cantos also. After studying the entire canto, how Krishna is Supreme Absolute Truth will be proved. You will get so many references. And now I am recollecting so many other verses from other places. As one by one these verses are happening. But for example, 8th canto, Gajendra says, Namo namaste khilakaranaya nishkaranaya bhutakaranaya sarvagam amnaya maharnavaya namo apavargaya parayanaya. Some of you know this verse. That is very much fitting to Janmadhyasyata. He is the akhilakaran. He is nishkaran. No one is caused, independent. So like that, there are so many other verses in Bhagavatam, in future cantos that align to this verse. Once you study all of that and come back to this verse, first verse, you will relish it better. And you read again, enter Bhagavatam, again come back to this. Because we read, we forget. Right? That's why we have to repeatedly read. If you repeatedly read, something will stick into it. Then when we are reading, that will come to our remembrance. Then we will relish. Ah, nice, nice. Then we will relish it better. So repeated reading is the only way for sustenance in devotional service. And relishing in devotional service. It is a source of sustenance also and happiness, relish also. Once reading is not sufficient. I did Bhagavatam, Paragand, Hogya. Any other book? What's next? We can't say like that. Repeatedly we need to read to relish it better. Shall we go to the second verse? 12:35. I'm not sure whether we can complete. Second verse. Shall we take a break? Break means? What do you say? Shall I stop here? Or shall I take little extra time? 1:15? 1:15 is all right, no? Dharma prajita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam.
Dharma prajita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam satam.
Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam.
Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite kimva parairishvara.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite kimva parairishvara.
Sadyo hrudi avarudhyatetra krutibhi susrushubhistakshanat. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam.
Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmat saranam satam.
Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam.
Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite kimva parairishvarah.
Srimad Bhagavate Mahamunikrite kimva parairishvarah.
Sadyo hrudi avarudhya tetra krutibhi susrushubhistakshanat.
Sadyo hrudi avarudhya tetra krutibhi susrushubhistakshanat.
Dharma projita kaitavo atra paramo. Dharma projita kaitava. Kaitava means cheating religion, pretentious religion, substandard religion. That is kaitava dharma. Projita means kicking out, just rejecting. So all cheating, substandard religions are kicked out of Bhagavatam right in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Dharma, that's how Bhagavatam is beginning. What are the cheating religions? Dharma, Kartha, Kama, Moksha. Dharma means religious processes. People perform dharma to get artha. What is artha? Money. People do religion to get money. I'll do this puja, I'll get this benefit by doing this puja, samvrata, etc. Like that, people do dharma to get artha. And they engage artha in what? Kama. Kama is sense gratification. And they're frustrated in kama, they think of moksha. This is a cheating religion. So dharma, artha, kama, moksha. And generally they think of moksha as this merging and impersonal Brahman only. Moksha means sab chhod nahi, right? We just become nothing. That kind of thing. So that is rejected. Materially motivated religion is rejected in Bhagavatam. That's how Bhagavatam begins. Right after the invocation of offering prayer to the Absolute Truth, meditating on the Absolute Truth, Bhagavatam is saying, in this book, Atra means in this book. In this book, materially motivated religion is rejected. Done. Paramo, it propounds the highest truth. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. And it is understandable. Vedyam means understandable by whom? Satam, great devotees, pure devotees, who are nirmatsaranam, who are completely devoid of any envy or contamination in the heart. Non-envious. Non-envious people can understand Krishna, understand Bhagavatam. So when there is envy in the heart, we cannot understand Bhagavatam. We can understand Bhagavatam to the extent we are non-envious. To the extent we are non-envious, to that extent we can understand Bhagavatam. To the extent we are envious, to that extent we are deprived of the real understanding of Bhagavatam. The qualification to enter Srimad Bhagavatam is to give up the deep-rooted envy within our hearts. Make a conscious endeavor to give it up. Till then, the understanding is not substantial. Right? Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Even this is in the beginning of Bhagavatam. At the end of Bhagavatam also this verse comes. Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam yadvaishnavanam priyam yasmin paramahamsyamekam amalam jnanam param giyate tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam tat shrinvan supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyennaraham. Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam. Bhagavatam is a spotless Puran. Yad Vaishnavanam priyam. It is extremely dear to all Vaishnavas. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam avalam. This can be understood by paramahamsas who are completely pure in heart. Paramahamsyam ekam avalam. Jnanam param giyate. It propounds the highest knowledge. Same thing is mentioned here. Paramo nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Bhagavatam is giving the topmost spiritual knowledge, transcendental knowledge of the absolute truth, of the bhakti yoga, of the spiritual world, of the rasa. All these tattvas are described in Bhagavatam. So, jnanam param giyate, tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Avishkar, avishkritam means inaugurating or launching or introducing or revealing or manifesting. That's what avishkritam means. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam. So Bhagavatam is launching this highest process of bhakti, highest dharma, paro dharma of bhakti. Not this kaitava dharma, paro dharma bhakti. Bhakti, when bhakti is there, it's always accompanied, it is already accompanied by jnana viraga. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Not simple naishkarmya. Naishkarmya means do activity without explanation, without expectation of result. But just that activity is not sufficient. A selfless activity is not sufficient for self-realization. Naishkarmyam apyachyuta bhavavarjitam na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. You know this verse? Naishkarmyam, it will come in 5th chapter. So, naishkarmya means selfless work without expectation of result. If it is achyuta bhava varjitam, if it is devoid of devotion towards Krishna, achyuta, it is useless. If naishkarmi is useless, karma is also useless. Karma is useless before only. After karma became useless, naishkarmi becomes useless. Anything is useless without bhakti. So Bhagavatam is launching bhakti. Bhagavatam is launching naishkarmi also, jnana also, viraga also, bhakti sahitam, along with bhakti. So when bhakti is there, other things will automatically manifest. Tat shrunvan, hear Bhagavatam. Supathan, study Bhagavatam. Tat shrunvan, supathan, vicharan aparo, contemplate on Bhagavatam. Bhaktya, with devotion. Vimuchyanara, that will be the ultimate cause of deliverance. Shrunvan, classes. Supathan, you have your sloka recitation and your study sessions. Vicharan aparo, contemplation, you have your open book exams and closed book exams, they are all vicharan. Bhaktya vimuchyanaraha. So, that's how Bhagavatam has to be approached. So, we discussed three things so far. Dharma projita kaitava, parama, nirmatsaranam satam vedyam, then vastavam vastu. Vastavam means truth, the real truth, the real substance. So, Bhagavatam distinguishes the highest reality from illusion. For what? Vastavam atra vastu shivadam. Shivadam means for the welfare of everyone, for the auspiciousness of everyone. Bhagavatam is presenting the purest subject matter, the ultimate description of the absolute truth for the auspiciousness and purification of everybody. Tapatrayon mulanam. Bhagavatam eradicates threefold miseries. It's a book, is it not? How can a book eradicate your threefold miseries? If you read Bhagavatam, you will not get any health issues. You will not get any financial problems. Your friends will stop troubling you. Government will not torture you. Right? Tapatrayan means what? Misery is caused by mind and body. Misery is caused by other living entities. Misery is caused by demigods. Adhi Daivika means if you read Bhagavatam, you will not get rain. You will not get cold. You don't have to wear sweater. What does it mean? Bhagavatam is tapatrayan mulanam. It's like too much. There's so much of boasting right in the beginning. One may think like that. Yes, what is your explanation? Tejas Prabhu. Why is Bhagavatam called tapatrayan mulanam? Okay. Okay. Good. Anyone else?
We can elevate ourselves from the platform of the body.
Fine. Anything else? Yes, sir. 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 Yes,
sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, right? Miseries are there. Difficulties will certainly come even in the life of a devotee also. But as some of you said, Bhagavatam will equip our consciousness with the ability to see Krishna's hand in all circumstances of life. And Bhagavatam will equip us with the ability to tolerate all those miseries with a grateful heart, seeing them as results of our own past deeds. Tattenu kampam susamikshamanam bhunjana eva atmakritam vipakam hridvag vapur bhir vidadhan namaste jivetayo mukti padesataya bhag. So, Bhagavatam will give us the ability to see Krishna's hand behind all circumstances and also give us the tolerance to withstand whatever purification is awaiting us. Because everybody has to undergo certain reaction. Someone who is not ready for it, he will break down and he will create more reaction. But someone whose consciousness is equipped with Bhagavatam, whose consciousness is prepared by the sound vibration of Bhagavatam, will gratefully accept them, withstand and continue. tolerate and proceed. But sometimes it may happen that I can't tolerate, I will terminate. You have only two options, tolerate or terminate. So termination is not the recommendation of Bhagavatam. Toleration is the recommendation. Right? Tolerance. Titiksha. So Bhagavatam uproots the threefold miseries and it equips our consciousness with the right mood. So devotee starts seeing misery as mercy of Krishna. Krishna, I deserve more misery, but you are so merciful, you have given me only this much misery. When misery is perceived as mercy, where is the question of misery? We have hundreds of examples on this. Within Bhagavatam also there are so many examples. Chitraketa was cursed to become a demon within a moment. He just gave one feedback to Shiva. You know that sixth canto pastime? Parvati was sitting on the lap of Chitraketu, lap of Shiva, and Chitraketu saw and then said, oh, people will misunderstand you. Why are you doing like this? You are great. You are not affected by it. I understand that you are great. But an ordinary conditioned soul, if he sees you like this, you are sitting like this in the midst of sages, what will he think? Then Parvati said, my God, who is this fellow coming and correcting us? Is he the appointed chastiser to punish shameless people like us? Brahmaji forgotten dharma or what? Four Kumaras, Narada Muni, Bhrugu, Indra, Chandra, all these people have forgotten dharma or what? Who is he? Who authorized him to correct us? My dear son, become a demon. Like that she said. So what was Chitraketu's response? He said, my dear mother, I didn't mean anything wrong. But whatever you think is wrong, let that be wrong. And may I be forgiven for it. And I don't want any exemption from this curse. I accept your curse and I'm going. Like that he said. So when you read examples like this, the Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days. What did he do? He just took a dead snake, not even live snake. So he's such a great person. He did such a small mistake and he was cursed by an innocent boy, an ignorant boy, 5-year-old child. The whole circumstances were so silly. Right? It was like too much. Okay, Parikshit never said that, Krishna, I will die, but not in this way. What will happen to my image? I am the greatest emperor, Vishnu Ratha, the only descendant of Pandavas, the emperor. He is cursed to die by a child. He is cursed by a small child to die for an insignificant mistake. It's like really embarrassing, humiliating, is it not? But Parikshit said, fine, this is not a curse. It is blessing in disguise. It's the cause of my indifference towards all worldly activities. Let me take shelter of Krishna. Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra gangacha devi dhatachittam ishe. He said, you just recite the glories of Vishnu. I don't worry about this curse and all. Whatever snake bird has, whatever magical thing that the sage may have created, let it come and then bite me. No problem. So when you are reading these examples from Srimad Bhagavatam, Tapatraya and Muranam should happen. Tapatraya will continue to exist. But you don't experience that Tapatraya or affected by that Tapatraya. That's the right word. So devotees are not affected by Tapatrayas if they take shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Next, Mahamanikrite. Mahamanikrite means it is composed, it is compiled by Vyasadeva. When did he compile? At the maturity of his knowledge. Right? So, when Vyasadeva's knowledge is completely mature, then he compiled. You are writing 100 books. When you become very mature in knowledge and then write the 100th book, that becomes your best book. Right? Yeah, all other books are also valid. But when you ask what is your best work, you will say that book. My 100th book is my best book. So like that maturity of his knowledge he compiled. So Mahamani Krite Kimva Parair. What is the need for any other scriptures? So this Bhagavatam, one Bhagavatam is sufficient for self-realization, God realization. So there is no need for any other scripture. Why can you claim? How can you claim like this? So by studying Srimad Bhagavatam, by hearing the sound vibration of Bhagavatam very regularly from bona fide sources, Krishna will descend into the heart of such a sincere hearer and likes to be captivated in that heart. Sadyo, immediately, Hridi Avarudhyate, Krishna will manifest in the heart. He is already there in the heart as Paramatma, but he will not be like Paramatma in the heart. What does Paramatma do? He will just witness. Kya karne? Maams khane? Kao. He will sanction. He will facilitate. He will observe, note down things. So in that capacity, Paramatma is there in everybody's heart. But when a devotee is taking the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam within his ears, pravishta karnarandhrena svanam bhavasaroruham dhunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yathasharat. When someone is endeavoring to hear the message of Bhagavatam with great sincerity, Krishna will enter his ear holes through that sound vibration and cleans the heart of such a person. He doesn't act like a mere Paramatma. He becomes Bhagavan, right? He acts much more effectively in the case of a devotee than in the case of a non-devotee. He helps for the purification. He may facilitate for the sense gratification. He may observe, sanction and facilitate for the sense gratification of a conditioned soul. But he purifies the heart of a devotee. That's how the Lord in the heart acts differently according to the disposition of different people. Ishvara sadyo hridi avardhyate atra kritibhis susrushibhis takshanat. As soon as one attentively and submissively hears Bhagavatam, so this is what will happen to him. So this is the second verse of Bhagavatam, which defines the real religion. So savai pumsam paro dharma dharma prochita kaitavotra paramo. So this Kaitava Dharma is rejected and the ultimate Dharma is injected, is proposed, is recommended, is emphasized. The word Atra is used 3 times in this Bhagavatam, in this verse. That means only in Bhagavatam all these 7 effects will happen and in no other scripture this will happen. Only because of, only through Bhagavatam, Lord becomes controlled by a devotee. Only Bhagavatam is a substantial object, substantial book that can bring about this result. Right? So, if why Krishna is captivated in the heart of a devotee? Krishna likes to be captivated. He doesn't want to come out. You just fix me, you just lock me up here, lock up. So, Krishna likes to be locked up in the heart of a devotee because Krishna likes the ambience of prema. When the devotee's heart is filled with prema, Krishna wants to be there. And Bhagavatam helps us cultivating that prema. So hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, submissively, will increase the prema in us. Will awaken the prema and increase the prema. So in such a love-filled heart, Krishna likes to be there. And Krishna is controlled by such loving heart of his devotee. So, next, he is trapped in the heart of the devotee. It is purely transcendental literature which can be understood only by the pure devotees of the Lord who are transcendental to competitive sense gratification. This is an important point. Nirmatsaranam. So, one aspect of this matsara or contamination or envy is competition. There is competition between different animals. So, one has to raise above those competitions. So, this enviousness, non-enviousness is on 3 levels. Number one, He is just by just getting freed from material envy is first level. You don't envy other person. Other person is progressing, he is becoming popular, he is becoming successful. Jalan ho rahe andar. How can I tolerate this fellow's success? So that doesn't happen to you, then you are just non-envious. To that extent. But second level of non-enviousness is to become a genuine well-wisher of other person. Well-wisher. I am your well-wisher. It's not that I just don't envy you. Jo karna hai karte raho. I'm not affected by it. That's like a neutral way. Second is, I become your genuine well-wisher. When you become a well-wisher, you may want to assist him in becoming successful also. Degraded thing is, when he is becoming successful, you become envious and cause obstructions in his success. Second is, when he is becoming successful, at least you don't cause obstructions, you don't feel envious. Okay, let him do his own thing. Third is, you become a well-wisher and help him in attaining success. Okay. The first one is not non-envious, that is envy. So third level of non-enviousness is to strive to establish a competition-less society with God in center. First is, don't envy. Second is, well-wisher. Third is, inspire every single person also to become a genuine well-wisher of other people. Not to compete with other people on a material plane. And cooperate with other people with God in the center. This is the third level. So Prabhupada writes that in this purport. 54th page, 6th and 7th lines. You can read it. Yeah. Free from envy. Neutral. Free from envy. Free from envy. Second is becoming well-wisher. Third is striving to establish a competition-less society with God in center. Development of this transcendental consciousness grounded in the conception of simultaneously one and different leads one immediately to the stage of freedom from threefold miseries. So miseries exist even in the case of devotee, but they don't suffer like ordinary people. So in the last paragraph, Prabhupada writes, the proper method for receiving this transcendental message is to hear it submissively. A challenging attitude cannot help one realize this transcendental message. So challenging attitude doesn't work. Kidhar jayega bhagavatam, main bhi dekhunga. I will read this, I will understand this technical portion, and I will somehow do the needful. I will do research to understand this. You can't conquer Bhagavatam. You can only request Bhagavatam. Please reveal yourself to me if you wish. If you think I am qualified and if you have desire, please reveal yourself to me. With such a prayerful mood, one needs to approach Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is a person. The process is simple. Application is difficult. The desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. See, Prabhupada writes a nice statement at the end. The intelligent person with thoughtful discretion can be assured by the great sage Vyasadeva that he can realize the Supreme Personality directly by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So, realization of Bhagavan happens by sincere hearing and studying and speaking of Srimad Bhagavatam, accompanied by service attitude, accompanied by the right mood, no material motivations. Material motivations are kicked out right in front. Dharma prajita kaitava. The approach has to be pure, the frequency has to be more, and there should be service attitude. Then one can understand and assimilate and apply Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you all very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. 1 o'clock. 1:03. Thank you. Tomorrow we will discuss the third.